time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, big boy.
What's cooking?
How about that yesterday?
That was something else.
Is there a better day every year than opening day?
It's the best. And who had an 8-run inning on the bingo card for the Cardinals yesterday?
I think the same person who had a 95-degree day in March. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you what. I'm here. I've been saying it for weeks now. This team is going to surprise people this year.
But, John, did you watch it? First of all, this was the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. I don't think they're going to light it up this year.
They're the Rays now, A.
Yeah.
B, it's a good, young, talented team.
And they hung six on us in the what?
Yeah, but those were a lot. I mean, their six was lucky.
Uh-huh.
Our eight was a hard hit balls, home run. It was wonderful.
I was at the game yesterday watching it. Of course, my favorite part was when the horses come in. I mean, there is nothing better than seeing those Clydesdales come in. I was sitting next to some of the Tampa Bay's players' wives.
Yeah.
And they had their kids, and everybody there was just energized to see the horses, even the visiting team.
Well, you got to love it. I mean, you get a bunch of horses out there, and, you know, something you don't see every day.
And were you able to find the game on television?
Buddy, I figured out all by myself,
uh-huh,
a little help from my son.
Okay.
But basically all by myself, I figured out how to get on Cardinals TV, buy a subscription, put the app on the television, and boom, there it was.
I'm told that I have DirecTV, and I am told that I can watch it there. But yesterday, I was going to tape the pregame ceremony, and I went looking for it and couldn't find it on my television. I know it's there. I know a lot of people are having a hard time figuring out where they're going to see the games.
Well, if you go to cardinals.com/watch, they'll tell you the channel for all of the systems.
Well, yeah. And, of course, you can always go to KMOX here, 1120 AM, or our FM station, which is 104.1.
Yes.
And you can hear the Cardinals. We also stream it on the Odyssey app.
We do.
Who was you most excited to see in one of those red jackets or coming in one of those cars yesterday?
Oh, Ozzy's the dean now.
Hard to believe, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Remember when he was the young kid that
right?
was in that group?
Yeah, he's 70 years old, and he's the dean of the alumni. And one of the video presentations they did yesterday showed all of the Cardinal greats that we've lost in the last handful of years.
Right.
Wow. Staggering. Yeah. Staggering.
It was a different feeling than previous opening days. And I'm sure it was this way last year, and it's going to take a while to soak in. But when Ozzy comes in, you know, there's no more Bob Gibson. There is no more
right. Lou Brock.
There's no more
Red
Suter, no Red, no Whitey. But there was Ted Simmons there. And I have to tell you, if there's a better head of hair in baseball than Ted Simmons, I'd love to see it. That guy's got a good-looking mane.
He's got a mane, that's for sure, and always did, you know. And he always did until Vern Rapp became the manager.
Yeah.
Vern Rapp made him cut his hair, made Al Roboski shave his mustache,
uh-huh,
his Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
And he lasted, I think, for 1.5 years.
What was Simmons' nickname?
Simba.
Simba.
Yeah.
After the lion?
The lion.
Because he's always had that blonde mane?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't blonde back then.
What was it then?
It was brown.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he looked fabulous yesterday with his gray hair. I wish I had it. I saw him in Forest Park not too long ago.
Yeah?
Still living here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Walking around.
Great.
As approachable as anybody you'll ever meet.
Really good guy. I ran into he and his wife at the airport flying back from Jupiter.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, they're big-time art collectors and enthusiasts. And
uh-huh.
They've done so much for the art museum in St. Louis.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, like major benefactors.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and fascinating people, really, both he and his wife.
Would it be inappropriate for me, if I saw him walking again in Forest Park, for me to stop him and say, hey, Mr. Simmons, or do you think is that uncouth to bother a celebrity like that when they're out doing their exercise?
Well, I mean, if he's walking,
yeah,
you just walk alongside and talk to him, yeah.
Yeah, I just waved at him and said, hey, thanks for everything you do for St. Louis, and he kind of looked at me and he was like, hey, no, thank you.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, you don't know me from Adam, but it was good to see him yesterday. And it's great that the baseball season started. You're still optimistic that this is going to be better than what most
yes.
of us anticipate?
Yes. I think the over-under on the, if you follow the betting things, is 69.5 games, something like that.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be better than that.
Well, there you go. You heard it right here from my friend John Hancock. When will this war end, John, that the president says sometimes is a war, sometimes he's declared victory, sometimes it's going to still go on. Now we're sending in the airborne. We're definitely looking like we're about to have troops on the ground. I got to tell you, this administration doesn't seem to have a direction and surely doesn't have its talking points together.
Yeah. Very foreboding, the sending of the thousands of troops, the 82nd Airborne you mentioned, some special forces going in. The thinking is they're going to try and take that island. And I don't see how, if we put those kind of forces on the ground, I'm afraid we're going to have mass U.S. casualties. Oh. And if you put those forces on the ground, there's no getting out of this thing anytime soon. And if there's no getting out of this thing anytime soon, you're going to have a global recession.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
John, I don't get what's happening because I've run into a couple of people here in the building that are on the other station, and I've kind of teased them a little bit about, boy, hey, no more endless wars. Prices are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, just hold on. Nobody wants to seem to realize that what they were promised, they're not getting. And they don't seem to be waking up. Even Speaker Johnson yesterday saying that this isn't a canary in the coal mine, all these Democrats winning across the country, that MAGA is still going to hold on to government. What are these people doing putting their head in the sand? They're about to get steamrolled.
Well, there's an awakening coming in November. And, you know, you don't need to be a studied student of history to know that this election's going to go really, really poorly for the Republicans.
But what does that mean for Donald Trump? Does he continue with his, I mean, look, on this TSA fight, he refuses to buckle. The Senate leader Thune wanted to have a compromise. Yeah. Apparently they got to one last night. It's going to be dealt with in the House. But Donald Trump, yet again, like he did on closing the border down when Joe Biden was president, came in, big-footed the process, at the detriment of the political opportunities for the Republicans.
I've never been impressed with the political calculation of the Trump team. You know, this whole assault on mail-in voting, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had been a strength for Republicans. You know, back when I ran the Republican Party, we had a robust and active absentee ballot program, you know, and they do it all over the country. And, you know, it's actually hurting the GOP to do away with mail-in voting.
Yeah. He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about the region and how we ought to be governing ourselves right here on KMOX. And welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. John, listening to the news on the way in here on KMOX, Ness Sandoval, yes, again, talking and sounding the alarm about what's happening in St. Louis. We're about to lose our status as the 23rd or 24th biggest city to San Antonio now.
Yep.
Our growth is stagnant. We're getting older. We're not getting any younger. Young people aren't replacing us. And one has to point to the way that we govern ourselves as being a part of that problem.
I think that's right. And, you know, as much as I've criticized Sam Page, he at least has gotten the conversation started about what we need to do as a region. And his suggestion is that you bring St. Louis City into St. Louis County as another municipality.
Okay.
And, you know, that could happen. But I think a much stronger approach would be to just have St. Louis City and County combined together and become St. Louis. And a unitarian, unified government. You'd have one leader over the St. Louis City and County region. A lot of Republicans have said that, you know, if you do that, you'll never have a Republican. Well, I got news for you, folks. If you're in St. Louis County, you haven't elected a Republican county executive for 40 years.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not going to happen. And having a unified government means that the cost of government goes way down. We'll have to figure out a way to manage the municipalities, the 90-some municipalities that exist presently in St. Louis County. But, you know, in the city, you've got all of these very recognizable, very defined neighborhoods.
Sure.
You know them all.
Yeah. Dogtown, The Hill, Tower Grove.
Yeah.
You can go on forever.
And
Evo.
And that's a, you know, that's a place where people identify with. Well, we can do that with Kirkwood and Webster and, you know, Town and Country and Chesterfield.
Yeah. And you, what's hard for me to understand, if you watching what's going on in the city government, this is a structure that was set up for 1 million people.
Yeah.
We're at about 200,000 plus that are left here in the city. It's not necessary to have 15 aldermen and all this staff and et cetera, in the same way that it's not necessary to have 57 police departments out in St. Louis County and 90 something municipalities, 15 different fire districts. I mean, it just seems so redundant.
Yeah, there's a lot of mayors out there.
Yeah,
a lot of mayors out there in St. Louis County.
Looks like we're throwing a lot of tax dollars just up in the air to really just keep people working rather than to being efficient and doing the best thing that's right for moving the region
and
forward.
And it's not as if we don't have living, breathing examples of how this works. You know, Indianapolis unified, Nashville unified, all over the country, Louisville unified. Mm-hmm. All over the country, they've been doing these things. And, you know, we've got to begin to have a conversation, St. Louis, because it's clear things are not going well here.
Well, and I think that's part of the issue here, John, is acceptance. I mean, when you mention those cities, Louisville, Indianapolis, I know there's St. Louisans out there just like me who in more of a snobbish way look at it and think, we're so much better and bigger than them. Little Rock, Kansas City. Yeah. These are people that we used to look down at.
Yep.
These are cities that are accelerating now, that are growing, that have addressed a lot of the problems that St. Louis has chosen not to do.
Yeah.
And the reality is that even our convention center, when you look at who they're competing against, we're not competing against Las Vegas or Atlanta or New York. We're competing against Little Rock, Tulsa, Des Moines, Kansas City. And so we've got to kind of accept where we're at and find a way to move us forward, because we can still get back into the AAA or the big leagues.
Oh,
but well, yes. We've got to make some changes.
Yeah. And there's so much good about St. Louis, our geographic location, our cultural infrastructure is an A+ city culturally, the educational opportunities that exist here, the excellent educational facilities here. But and just fixing the government's not going to solve the entire problem.
No.
But it is a absolutely essential step in that process. And I think if we could solve the government problem and once again become a hub airport,
right,
I think you could see St. Louis flourish. I think bright days could be in the future, but I think those two things are absolutely preconditions to growth and success.
Yeah, and one of the things that has to happen is we have to continue to grow business in St. Louis. There are businesses that stretch across three or four municipalities. I'm thinking of Boeing, Schnucks,
yeah, right.
Anheuser-Busch. These folks have spices. So to build a building in Creve Coeur, you have a different permitting process than you do if you're building a building in Florissant,
yep,
or inside the city of St. Louis. And it's just, that just doesn't seem right. It seems common sense that we as a region ought to be coming up with unified ways to deal with stuff. That's just a small example of what businesses face, that when you're in Indianapolis, why it's so much easier to expand or to attract business, because they don't have this redundancy in government that literally can be 100 yards from where they're trying to expand.
Well, and we live in a situation now, not so much now, but a decade, two ago, individual municipalities were offering tax incentives to move a Walmart from DePere to Ellisville.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's crazy.
Totally.
That we're doing that.
John, I bring this up all the time because I love to bash Jefferson City. We just got a couple seconds left. But this problem needs not only the region to deal with it, the state's got to help.
I think that's probably right. Yeah. And, you know, the state can't do it, but the state could certainly help facilitate it.
Well, unfortunately, there's leadership that exists inside the state. We don't seem to be able to agree on what day it is here in the region.
Chris and Amy are next. Without Chris, Amy's next, right here on KMOX.